Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning humbly, knowing that your word has authority over us, and your word points us to know who you are. And not only to know who you are, but to know you and to relate to you. Lord, you speak to us through your word, and we pray this morning that your spirit enable us to see who you are, that your Holy Spirit take us and transform these words that are on a page into life-changing truths. Lord, help us this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It was cold Friday night. It was rainy Friday night. And some of you were out playing football in it. I decided not to do that, and I saved my run for Saturday morning. Well, probably Saturday afternoon for some of you. But I got on the road and started to run, and as most of my runs, I began running, and I look down, and I look at my pace on my phone, and I realize I'm running a little too fast, so I slow down just a bit. And then I begin, and I hit that long stretch, and then begin to try to get my breathing in order, because one of the hardest things to do for any runner is to get your breathing right. And if you're aware, if you've ever run, you know that is one of the biggest things about running is if you can't breathe, you can't run. So you try to pace your breaths, with every three steps you take a breath, and you try not to get the too deep of a breath so that you're panting, because you have a long way to run. And, well, not so long. I ran a Run my favorite race is the 5K, so I'm running that. I know that you got 3 miles to run, so you've got to pace yourself. And then you get to where you feel like I round that second corner, and I realize that's the hardest stretch for me, because you've got the adrenaline out, and you've set your pace, and then you're hitting in that long stretch. You've got to keep this up for us for the duration. And sometimes I begin to slow, and I look down at my phone and I think, oh, my pace is too slow. I've got to speed up. And so I try to lean forward, because when I lean forward, I know that it leads me to run faster, and I move my arms faster, because that's where the strength of the run comes in. It's in your hands, and you run. Boots taught me that, EL, if you're in here. It's your hands. And then you make the first lap and you're thinking, man, am I just halfway finished? I don't know that I'm going to make it. But you keep running and you keep running, and I keep looking at my time. Am I going to make it in the time that I want to make it in? And yesterday I looked down at one point about 3/4 through the run and thought, I'm going too slow. I've got to speed up. So I speed up again. And then I made the curve right before the end. It's about 1/4 mile out from the finish. And there it was. The wind right in my face. And every step seemed to be extra effort. And the wind is blowing. I feel like my face is flattened by the wind. And at that point, I wanted to stop and say, it's just training. It doesn't really matter. It's not the real race. It's just the training. But I didn't. Because I know that you cannot run the real race unless you train like you want to run the real race. And so I kept running. And I kept running. And I made that final turn to the home stretch and finished the race. And I beat my time. I beat my time. Because I ran with a goal and an effort to win. And you say, well, who were you beating? Well, I wasn't beating anybody, but I was beating the clock. And I wanted to win. But constantly throughout my run yesterday, I checked the clock. I checked my pace. I checked my hands. I checked my feet. I checked my breathing. I made sure everything was going right. Paul will use this illustration in our passage today, talking about runners running a race. So if you have your Bible, I would invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And we'll begin there. If you've missed it, we have been talking about Paul's great effort to reach people in the name of Jesus, to minister to people. He said he would become all things to all people, that by any means he might reach some. His goal and his effort as a man who loved God, not as an apostle per se, but a man who loved God, was to reach the people around him and proclaim Jesus to them. Last week we looked specifically, do we sit around and let souls perish? We looked at the bullying, the burger last week, and people just sitting around and watching people being bullied. Are we watching people perish, or are we bringing them the message of redemption? Where is our heart? This week we looked at what does it take to be an effective minister of the gospel, an effective messenger of the gospel, which we all in this room are messengers of the gospel. Let's look at some of the things it takes to be an effective messenger of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:24, if you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, it might be on the screen, you might have it. Let's get into this together. I hope you are eager this morning. Do you not know that all that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Here's the message from Paul. Lots of people run in a race. Only one receives the crown. And there were several games back in history. We know in Corinth there was a specific games that Corinth hosted each year. Many think this is an allusion to this sort of race and this sort of athletic event that's going on. And he pulls in, as Paul often does, from the things that are around him. And he says, people are running in a race, but only one receives that prize. So how does Paul tell us to run? In what way? Paul says, run in a way that you might win. Run to win. Don't just run to finish. Run to win. I think of my run yesterday. Any time throughout my run, I could have stopped and said, I'm just going to finish. And it was a fight, I tell you, it was a fight. But I was not in the race to finish. I was in the race to beat the clock. And I beat it. If I had been in the race to finish, I guarantee you I would not have beat the clock. Christian, may I ask you, is your Christian life defined as one who wants to win the race, or one who just merely wants to finish? Many people go through stages in their Christian faith where they just say, you know, I am a Christian, but it's just not that important to me right now. I have other things that are more important. Paul calls us above that. He calls us out of that, and he calls us to be winners. Not just finishers, but those who compete with great effort. Not just to finish the race, but to win the race. Christian, have you fallen to the place in your life where you've said, well, you know, I'm going to finish and that's enough. I'll get to heaven. That's enough for me. Have you lost the zeal to be a competitor in the Christian life? Have you lost the zeal to remember what the prize is after all? The prize is Jesus himself and complete and full fellowship face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten this? Have we forgotten that he's commanded us to be messengers of the message that he left with us? Are we just trying to finish? Are we walking to finish the fun run? Are we competing to win the race? Church, it was a beautiful sight Wednesday night in our parking lot. I saw competitors. I saw people who dressed up. People who dressed their cars up. People who came and cooked. People who gave great effort they parked people. People who walked around and talked to people. People who greeted people. There were people everywhere doing what they could to minister to our community. And you may say, well, what does it mean? What does it matter? Those people aren't coming to church. Those people may not have shown up today. Does it matter? Well, go back to my race. I don't know how many steps I took on yesterday morning running, but let's say I took about 4,000 steps in my race. If I had missed one of those, guess what? I would be short of the finish. Each step led to another step, and that step led to another step, and ultimately, I finished the race, and I won the race. And friends, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that while we may make minor steps and seemingly insignificant steps every day in our Christian walk, they are a necessary part of the race. As you prepared your Sunday school lesson last night, teacher, you may think, man, nobody listened to me this morning. Your steps are not in vain. They are a part of your walk and your ministry in Jesus' name. Belinda, as you chose songs for us to sing this morning, had you not done that, we would not have sung songs this morning. Trinell, as you got out of bed this morning and you had not made it to church this morning, you would not have heard the Word of God this morning, and you would not have heard about Jesus and the resurrected Jesus as an appearance to Mary this morning, and heard about running the race this morning, and you wouldn't have had that. That was a part of your race, and they're all important. Every step in our life, church, is important. May we run to win. May we run to win. Look at verse 25. Let's look at some principles and some disciplines. Very important in life. Disciplines. These are some disciplines in life on how to run a winning race. How to run a winning race. Disciplines that we need. Are you ready? Brothers and sisters, do you want to win?
Yes.
Do you want to win? These are disciplines that the apostle has given us, that the Spirit of God has given to us to help us be to run in a way that wins. Not just finishers. Verse 25. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Here comes. Every athlete exercises what?
Self-control
in all things. I can vouch for that. They do not receive a perishable... They do it, rather, to receive a perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. I ran in a race in... like February, I think it was, and as we crossed the race, they put a medal over my head. Well, that's pretty neat. I had the first race I've run in and gotten a medal in. I thought that was really cool. I thought I was really special. I thought, man, I got a medal. It's awesome. And then I noticed the next person they gave a medal to, and the next person they gave a medal to, and then the 500th person to finish, they were putting medals on everybody. I'm like, oh, I am awesome, aren't I? Got a medal like everybody else. I finished. Imperishable. Imperishable. That medal will not last. I can tell you where it is today. It's in my closet, sitting in the back of the closet. You know what that medal means? What's it mean, Jimmy? It don't mean nothing. That's what it don't mean. It doesn't mean anything. It is a perishable wreath, if you will, that will fade away and be forgotten and collect dust. Well, now y'all win the state championship this year. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna be jumping up and down, woo, 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 with your team. But it's gonna be a trophy that's gonna collect dust in some case in the back of Plaquemine High. It's perishable. It's in 1,000 years, nobody's gonna know that Warnell Babineau got him a state championship trophy. It's not gonna matter. You know what will matter in 1,000 years? You know what will matter? Jesus Christ is Lord will matter in 1,000 years. And you know what will matter in 10,000 years, Warnell? Jesus Christ is Lord. and you will be in heaven rejoicing with him. That's what matters. Paul says every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. When we inherit the new heaven and new earth, it will be something that will not fade away. It will not fall away. It will be something eternal, and we will be with our Lord, Paul says, forever. In the 15th chapter here of 1 Corinthians. So do not run aimlessly. I can tell you, when I got out there and ran, I knew where to go. I ran with aim. I ran with direction. But before we get there, we've skipped over one of the first and primary disciplines of how to run. So church, you tell me what it is. What is it? I can't spoon feed you all the time. You see it in verse 25? Go back one verse for us, Micah. You see it there? Every athlete exercises self-control. If you are going to win, if you are going to run to win, guess what you must have? Self-control. I can tell you yesterday we got up and ran a fun run with the kids first before I ran my far run. And Abby was running with us. And we got up there and we started running. And guess who was first out of the chute? It was Abby. And she was ready. She was ready to roll. Woof, woof, woof. Pacing all of us. And we were looking back. Abby, slow down. You're going too fast. She was nailing it. And then at one point down the road a little bit, I saw her begin to kind of run with a little hitch in her giddy up. And I don't know if she got a cramp in her side or what, but it started to hurt. And I thought, oh no, she started too fast. Well, Ash was running with me, and he started slowly running. And at one point, we passed up the one who started first. Sometimes it's important, and I say every time, it's important to have discipline and self-control in your run. Ash, by the way, Ash didn't finish either. He kind of passed out right in the middle. But nonetheless, discipline is very important in your run. Self-control is very important in your run. I know that if I start my races too fast and I don't slow down, I will not finish. And that is why I look at my phone and say, all right, what's my pace? I'm going too fast. I've got to slow down. Without self-control, a rookie runner, a non-seasoned runner will just say, well, man, if I run faster, I'm going to finish faster. Not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true. Without self-control, you cannot finish the race. Let me say that again. This is really important. Without self-control, you will not even finish the race. Y'all know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Y'all could probably all say them. We'll pull them up on the screen. We can read them together. In Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what, church? Tell me. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Did you know that self-control is a fruit of God's Spirit in you? You think, oh, I'm going to be more loving. That's going to take a work of the Spirit of God. I'm going to have more joy in life. That's going to take a work of the Spirit of God. I'm going to be more gentle. I really need the Spirit of God to be more gentle. Do you often think, boy, I need more self-control in my life. That's a work of the Spirit. Absolutely, it's a work of the Spirit. Absolutely, it is a work of the Spirit. Christian, this is one of the, I think, probably one of the most failed areas that the average Christian deals in. Self-control. self-control. There are many seemingly mature Christians who have absolute trouble controlling themselves in certain areas of their lives. It is a battle, and it is a struggle, and many times Christians cannot find that fruit of self-control, being able to say no when no needs to be said, and being able to say yes when yes needs to be said. Self-control. I tell my family, Eli, tell me a proverb about self-control. Tell me the man that doesn't have self-control. What is he like?
He's like a city without walls.
He's like a city without walls. Proverbs 25:28, I believe it is. Yeah. Why is that, Eli? What happens to a city without walls? Gets destroyed. Cities without walls are plundered. Cities without walls are open to destruction. So says the Solomon or whoever wrote Proverbs 25. So says the proverber. Is the man without self-control. If you want to finish the race, you must have self-control. You must know how to stop and how to start and how to say no and how to say yes. Christian, we are not crazy people that cannot have any sort of control or do whatever we want to on a whim. That is not the way of Christ. We are people who discipline our bodies and discipline our minds and souls to say yes when yes is needed and no when no is needed, and think of a greater picture rather than what do I want right now. Christianity is about self-control. And if you want to run to win, learn the discipline, the art of self-control. Young men, I'm telling you, you live in a day and age in which people at your schools and people in your friends and organizations you're involved in, the young men have no control over themselves. Absolutely none. They just do whatever they want to do. And they think it's cool and they laugh at you when you don't. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? No control. That is godless. It is godless in every way. Y'all hear me? It's godless. Do not be like that. Young men, grow up to be men who can control themselves by the Spirit of God. Anybody can do whatever they want anytime. It takes a man to say, I can control myself because I have the power of God in me. It's a fruit of the Spirit. What's the second discipline, church? Chaz, we might not finish if I don't get going. I need self-control, thank you. What's the second discipline? What is it? It's in verse 26. What is it? Thank you. Run with aim. Paul says, so I do not run aimlessly. Right? If we want to win, if we want to not just cross the finish line, we want to win, we run with aim. We run like we want to finish. When I was in high school, no, probably middle school, I can't remember her name, last name, Jan Ripple, thank you. She was a part at Parkview where I went to school, and her family was a part of the school in some way. Like she owns Crawfish Aquatics in Baton Rouge. She used to do the Ironman, like the real Ironman triathlon. And I don't know if any of you remember, do any of y'all remember The Wide World of Sports? It used to come on Saturday and they would show it. And in the intro, they had the guy skiing down the Alpine and he crashed. And remember that? Well, on The Wide World of Sports, this was on one Saturday. I think it made maybe the intro. But here's Jan running this triathlon, this Ironman triathlon, which is you run a marathon, then you bike 120 miles, and then you swim 2 miles. It's a massive amount of effort. She got into the last part of the marathon part, which I think is the, I don't know if that's the last phase of the Ironman. I need Kelly here to tell me. But she dehydrated. And she began to crumble and tumble to the ground right when she was getting there to the end. And they followed her. And I don't know if y'all remember the story. It was heart-wrenching. But she was crawling to the finish line. Crawling. And for the last, I don't know, several miles, she was crawling and she'd get up and she'd stumble. And I think she ended up crawling across the finish line. And that's... watching that is etched into my memory forever. Here's someone who ran with aim. Her goal was to finish that race. At any point, anyone could have said, it's not good for you, you need to stop. At any point, anyone could have said, don't do it. But she ran with a goal in mind, and that was to finish. And this is where Paul is. I have a goal. My goal is to reach people and proclaim Jesus Christ. Here's the application for us, church. Oftentimes, we as Christians are far too easily deterred from our aim. Oh, well, it's a little too cold. I'm not going to go to Bible study. Oh, I'm feeling a little tired. I'm not going to read my Bible today. When you are tempted in those areas to quit, when you are tempted to not share your faith when you know you need to, when you are tempted to fall into something that you know is wrong, you just picture. You picture that woman crawling across the finish line because she wouldn't give up. Rather, you picture Jesus Christ the Lord hanging, suffering, and bleeding on the cross for your sin. And you think about it and you say, at any point, Jesus in that garden could have said, I don't want to do this. I'm just going to go back to heaven. But Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And he knew the suffering that would come. This is someone who had aim. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He had aim. He had a reason. He had purpose in what he was doing. Do we have aim? Do we have purpose? Do we run with purpose in mind? What gives us the aim? What motivates that, church? What does it? Here it is. We've alluded to it earlier, but let me just give this to you. Our goal is not just to live and die as Christians. I hope that you don't buy into the culture. Live and do all that you can. They say, eat, drink, and be merry. Have as much fun as you can. Spend as much as you can now. And enjoy life while you can. That is not the Christian way of life. The Christian life is, I know Jesus. I know the one who died for my sin. I know the one who has given me his word. I know the one who will forever reign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am going to focus on the imperishable and not the perishable. This is where we are. Why? Because this world is not our home. And if we get entangled into sin, if we get entangled into bad habits, and we get entangled into things that are inappropriate for us, or I have to be right, and therefore I'm going to argue and fight and fuss with people, or I have to get my way in this world, we lose the joy of the imperishable. Christians, we should be the ones who say, what happens on this dirt doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My aim is the imperishable. My aim is Jesus Christ. And I will sacrifice whatever it takes to have Christ. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." We are born again, Christian. This world doesn't matter. And the glory of this world doesn't matter. Will we be a people who sacrifice? Look what Paul said. Paul, his whole point in this, if you go back and you look at verse 23, he says, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Where are we, church? We are in a place, in a world in which the Lord has given us to live, to proclaim the death of Jesus, that His death is sufficient to pay for my sin, and that apart from Jesus Christ, I am dead in my sins. But because of Jesus Christ and my faith in Him, I am alive, and I am focusing on the imperishable life. Christian, do you believe that you will live for all eternity? Christian, do you believe that? Christian, do you believe that you will live for all eternity? Christian, do you believe that when you die, you can take nothing with you when you go? Christian, do you believe that? Christian, do you believe that all of the accolade and all of the man-made glory we receive here on earth will mean nothing for all eternity? If it is upon ourselves. Do we believe that? Why then do we take so much effort and invest into what is passing away? And this is Paul's argument. Why? We look for the impair. We look for what is eternal. And as he said last week, it is the souls of man. And even in verse 27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He's saying, in great joy, I have to fight because I want eternity. I want eternity with my Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, this morning, there is but one way to eternal life. And Jesus said that if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will lose your life here on this earth for the sake of Jesus Christ and His name, you will gain eternal life. So what does that mean? That means you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you run to win. And we give Him all of our effort and all of our glory. We give Him the best. Christian, are we there? Are we giving Him the best? Friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've come to church 1,000 times, but you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sin and believed that Jesus is right and true and is God. This morning, I call to you and I warn you, you're under the wrath of God. And if you died right now, apart from Jesus Christ, you would spend eternity damned. But I also encourage you with these words that Jesus Christ has died to pay for your sin, that He was nailed to a cross to pay the sins of all who would believe in Him. Will you believe? Will you come to the cross and confess your sin and give your life to Him and say, there is a race worth running. There is a race worth running, and the prize is Jesus Christ Himself. Let me close with this illustration. I believe that most people in our world today are running a race. Many in America run the quote unquote rat race. We run it to win the American dream. Many run an athletic race and say, I want to be the fastest man in the world, or the best football player ever, or the best pitcher. I want to make the major leagues. Many run and say, well, I want to have the best relationships I can. But I tell you, there is one race worth running, and that is the race in which Jesus is there at the finish line. And it is the race to Jesus. So church, let's run to win, and to win Jesus Christ. He is our great reward. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for encouraging us to get out of slothfulness and to run with discipline, to run with aim, to run with our eye on eternity and our eye on Jesus. Lord, help us run the race, not to stumble, not to get distracted, not to fall by the wayside. But Lord, help us run with endurance the race set before us, with our eyes on Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.